from the number one sports site in the world.
Yahoo!
This is Yahoo Sports Radio.
YahooSportsRadio.com.
Welcome to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast.
Yelovich is an own goal! It's an own goal!
With your host, Joe Mago. From Yahoo Sports and Yahoo Sports Radio.
It's right! It's a landslide!
Joe Mago and all the insiders from the FC Yahoo Soccer Blog bring you coverage of soccer across the world.
Premier League,
MLS,
Champions League,
La Liga,
Serie A,
and Bundesliga. It's all the coverage from soccer across the world.
This is the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast.
Oh, it's good in!
Right now. From the Yahoo Sports headquarters in Playa Vista, California, here's your host, Joe Mago.
Hello and welcome to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast. I'm Joe Mago, editor of the FC Yahoo blog on Yahoo Sports. Joining me on this episode here in the Playa Vista podcasting room in LA are Shahan Ahmed.
It's the last day for my beard, Joe.
It's really? I like it. Alex Baker.
I've already shaved off my Griezmann mustache.
And Joey Galino.
Was our 11th podcast the undecima for us? Was it our 10th plus one? I can't remember. I'm sorry.
We're going to go with 10 plus one. We're not that fancy. So we're here to talk about the Champions League final. It's Champions League final week. We have a rematch of the 2014 final between Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. Kickoff is 2:45 Eastern on Saturday, May 28th. In that 2014 final, Real Madrid won 4-1 in extra time thanks to Sergio Ramos's 93rd minute equalizer. Real finally secured La Decima, the club's 10th European title, with extra time goals by Gareth Bale, Marcelo, and of course, Cristiano Ronaldo. Guys, what do you remember most from that Champions League final in Lisbon 2 years ago?
If you had to pick one moment, it has to be the Sergio Ramos header in the 93rd minute, because Atletico Madrid looked like they had it. They really, really, really did have it. And then that one header from Ramos just crushed their dreams, took them to extra time. And then, you know, you had Di Maria with that run that deflected off, and Bale gets it at the back post. And then the floodgates just opened, and it culminated with Ronaldo scoring the most meaningless goal of all time in the 120th minute, ripping his shirt off, pretending he just scored the match winner.
Of course.
When it was 4-1 at that point. It wasn't like they were going to come back in the 15 seconds that were remaining in that game. So, I think the moment, though, if you had to pick one, would have to be Sergio Ramos definitely scoring the equalizer, with an honorable mention for Diego Simeone getting red carded and taken off.
What Shahan says is true with the Ramos header. I do think that is very memorable, but I would even take it kind of in a different direction. What I remember most about that game is that I didn't think it was a deserved result for Real Madrid. And I know that sounds weird, and I'm not trying to bash them, but I was much more impressed with the way that Atletico played. And, you know, we've talked about it on recent podcasts, how that was basically the Atletico Madrid plan, and they were, you know, what, 90 seconds from fulfilling it, was to just, you know, bust their asses, so to speak, and play hard and, you know, make up for the talent gap by doing that. And I thought it was very valiant what they did. Obviously, the 4-1 scoreline doesn't really indicate how close of a match it was. And so for me, as memorable as the Ramos header was, and I would even say that the Bale header, that actually impressive because of the way he had to kind of contort his body to get to that ball, as impressive as those goals were, I would say those are the moments of the match for me. But to be honest, what I remember most about that is thinking I was left wanting by the result as a neutral, because I thought Atletico did deserve to win the title that year.
I can remember Costa starting that match when he probably shouldn't, because I think he was injured.
That's right.
But he kind of forced his way into the lineup. Basically refused to be benched because it meant that much to him. And I think, I forget who came in.
There's some criticism for that. It came back to bite them, right? For taking that risk.
I think it did. I think they would have been probably better off if they'd have started without Costa and maybe kept him on the bench and brought him in if they were stuck for a goal late on.
Well, they ran out of gas and they'd wasted a substitution on a guy who'd had, I believe, was it like whale placenta or horse placenta treatments on his hamstring?
It was some sort of placenta.
It was a horse placenta.
Yeah, Robin van Persie had that too. A lot of those.
No wonder he wasn't fit.
Yeah. Well, there was like some miracle treatment that was supposed to get him back, and it worked for like 9 minutes, and it was like
I don't know
hook.
If it ever really works.
So that's a sign of desperation. So what's changed from 2 years ago between these two teams? Both teams should be at full strength. Ronaldo limped out of training today, but even he said he's going to be okay. The doctors for Real Madrid said he's going to be okay. But has there anything really been changed since the last time these two teams walked into a Champions League final?
Yeah, I think there's three major changes. One is, you know, the man of the match that day was Angel Di Maria. He's no longer with Real Madrid. He was a standout performer in that victory. He was making just darting runs, creating chances left and right. That Bale header actually came off of him. Another change, obviously, is the manager. It's not Ancelotti. It's Zidane on the sidelines. And then I think the third change, which is really heavily tilts this match more towards Atletico for me, is Antoine Griezmann is, you know, they have Torres and Griezmann. They have two proper forwards that are healthy going into this game. And, you know, we talked about there's no placenta treatments needed for Griezmann or for Torres. Griezmann's been, you know, incredible this season for Atletico. He's been very consistent. He has 7 goals in the Champions League this season as well. So I think that, for me, those are kind of hint at the three biggest changes, which is Real Madrid's had more turnover on the sidelines and on the field, and they're still, you know, they've played really well. I think there's a stat that's running around that since Zidane took over, he would have won the league if the league started right when Zidane took over.
Yeah, he's took more points.
He's taken more points than Barcelona or Atletico or anybody else.
True.
So that speaks to how well they've been playing. But I still think that Real Madrid's still kind of making a transition into a different look, whereas Atletico is the finished product right now.
I think that's a big difference, and I think that some of that is in perception, whereas 2 years ago, people thought, okay, this Atletico side, how did they ever get here? This is just some kind of fluke. And I think that now, the fact that they've done it again, nobody thinks this team is a fluke anymore. Nobody questions their right to be at the table with the big boys, which maybe puts a bit more pressure on them than maybe they had 2 years ago when they were kind of this guerrilla outfit that was somehow going against Barcelona and Real Madrid and coming out on top. I don't know if that's going to create added pressure for them or maybe make them more confident, maybe think, you know, we belong here, we can do this. And we're very just a bit unlucky not to have done it a couple years ago.
If there's anything fluky about this matchup, it's the fact that Real Madrid is in the final. I mean, it wasn't that long ago when we were talking, they weren't even a conversation for anything. And then they end up, you know, taking the La Liga title race down to the final day. You know, and Zidane has been able to get them to, you know, what Rafa could not do, which is, you know, I won't say play as a team, but he's getting production out of Gareth Bale, who we think is going to be the guy, again, be the workhorse for the attack. With Ronaldo, you know, he says he's going to play, but, you know, who's to say if he's going to be close to 100% fit?
Yeah, Gareth Bale's kind of been the engine that's kept Real Madrid going, especially as of late, and with Ronaldo being kind of in question. In the semifinal as well, Gareth Bale, you know, stood out. When you look at Bale, first of all, Real Madrid has won their last 12 league games, which is phenomenal. To tell you the type of form that they've been in and the reason that they actually ended up overtaking Atletico and making it a two-horse race with Barcelona going to the last game. But I think when you go to Gareth Bale, it's a transition that everybody imagined when he first came over. And then, you know, there's been so much like random petty stuff between him and Ronaldo in terms of not revealing that his transfer fee being higher than Ronaldo's. Initially, it was reported that it was. And then, you know, I think papers came out this season, actually, you know, a couple of years removed, that said, no, technically Ronaldo, you know, at the time they said Ronaldo still had the highest transfer fee. And I think some paper documents were disclosed that actually, no, Gareth Bale did have a higher transfer fee. And now, you know, it's like it starts the pettiness again. But when you really look at what Zidane was able to do, in my mind, is he was able to put Gareth Bale as the main attacking player and kind of shift it from being entirely Ronaldo's team. Ronaldo will still get those goals because he gets in attacking areas and he's, you know, one of the best goal scorers in the history of the game, and he continues to be. I mean, he has 16 goals in the Champions League, only second all-time in a Champions League season to when he scored 17 2 years ago. So, yes, that penalty where he ran around actually did mean something in hindsight, because now you look back and you're like, that's the difference between him having the record all time right now versus what he did last time. At the time, he didn't know that, though. So that's my only contention for him going crazy for absolutely no reason in my mind. But, you know, when you look at it, I think the squad's making a distinct transition. One player that probably that doesn't really get talked about nearly enough is Luka Modric. He's been, to me, Real Madrid, you could argue, their best player this season. Just what he's been able to do in midfield consistently for this team. He is really the midfield maestro that globally doesn't get the recognition he deserves, especially considering he's playing on Real Madrid, and he is their best midfielder. I don't think there's any doubt. If you asked anybody in the squad, you asked somebody outside the squad who actually watches the teams, Luka Modric has probably had his best season of his career, and he's been the best player. And, you know, it kind of goes back to that old Spurs connection of him and Bale. And I think that's actually enabled Bale to kind of come to the forefront a little bit more, is Modric's presence and his emergence in the midfield allows Bale to get more central. And it's those old Tottenham days are kind of coming through at Real Madrid now.
Who would you guys say are the X factors in this game?
I think as funny as it sounds, Ronaldo is kind of an X factor. He's a big X factor, and I mean that on two fronts. First of all, it kind of basically depends on the way that Atleti plays. We know how we've seen how they play against Barcelona and Bayern Munich and knocking out those two titans of the world game. The way that they kind of hunker down, play ugly football, you know, some people will call it that, and try to hit you on the counter, and it's been successful. But they say, Griezmann in particular, you know, they're saying in the press, that's not how we're going to approach this game. We're going to press high. We're going to try to win the ball. We're going to basically meet Real Madrid, you know, right at the battlefield line, whatever you want to call it. They're going to stand up to them. And so I'm thinking to myself that as great as an attacking team as Real Madrid is, it's a little bit predictable. You know, they'll go through the channels. They'll try to play the ball up to those three guys up top. And then, you know, they'll make those diagonal runs and or just shoot from wherever. You know, they're not the most – it's not easy to stop them. I'm not saying that. However, you do kind of know what you're getting with them. And with Atletico Madrid is so good as a team of denying you what you want to do and kind of pressuring you defensively. So I'm thinking to myself that – if Atletico plays the way that they have played against the bigger clubs this Champions League competition and they kind of hunker down, you're going to need someone like Ronaldo to have a moment of individual brilliance, perhaps, because, you know, scoring a nice team goal against Atletico Madrid is not really something a lot of teams do. But then I'm also thinking, if Griezmann, if what he says is true and they come out and they try to attack, well, then guess what? That opens them up on the counter, and there are very few players more dangerous in the world, probably nobody, frankly, in open space and on the counter like that than Cristiano Ronaldo. So for as big of a name as he is, I really felt like, and we kind of touched on a little bit earlier, he wasn't really that great in the Champions League final a couple years ago. So I'm not saying this is, you know, his legacy rides on this game or anything, but it will help if he has a huge game, maybe scores a couple goals and leads Real Madrid to victory in that fashion. So I would say, as weird as it sounds, he is kind of an X factor for Real Madrid.
Yeah, I would agree with Joey on that, that Ronaldo is definitely the guy on that team who's most capable of turning a game on his own. I think looking at the Atletico side, you know, the obvious guy you'd want to say is the coach, Simeone, is a huge factor. But for me, if you want to get onto the pitch, the guy who most embodies the kind of Simeone, let's play like we have a knife in between our teeth ethic, I think is going to be Gabi, who's the central midfielder, and I believe the captain. And probably the closest embodiment of Simeone as a player, and definitely is the guy who more than anyone else, seems to get the team revved on and up for it. So I think for me, he's Atletico's X factor.
Yeah, I think Gabi's definitely a major factor in the team. And yeah, he is the captain, which speaks to the fact that, you know, Fernando Torres came back and Gabi still held on to the captaincy, which tells you his importance with that team under Simeone. You know, when you look at, for me, the X factor, I think, is going to be Griezmann. If he can get out and create a goal, not necessarily even score it, you're going to, you know, launch Fernando Torres or just have an interchange. I think that that's going to make the difference. When we look at these teams, they played earlier this season at the Bernabeu after Zidane took over. That was the game that Atleti won, and Zidane started talking about there's going to be wholesale changes this summer. I don't know if I'll be back, basically, he said. You know, he just, his entire world just shattered right there. And I think that kind of speaks to the fact that, as a player, he never lost to Atletico. They won six of the eight games that they played and with two draws. And then you look at Simeone, what he's been able to do. You know, he's only lost one of the last 10 times he's met as a coach, one of the last 10 meetings against Real Madrid, which for Atleti, for so many years, you know, speaking to that time when Zidane was a player, they never beat Real Madrid. They always, it was a loss. If we're lucky, we'll get a draw. Now it's completely flipped on its head. And, you know, the most distraught that Zidane has been was earlier this season when Atleti actually, went to the Bernabeu and won. And I believe Griezmann scored in that game too. So I think, you know, as much as they don't want to get to extra time, they want to make sure they finish this in 90 minutes. I think that they need that one goal, because this very well could, if they get too locked in into being that defensive team without having that outlet, then I think that they risk this game getting into those margins where they start tiring out. And then Real Madrid's quality, just one of their players steps up and makes that moment happen. Whereas, you know, I think if Griezmann or Torres, but Griezmann in particular, sparks Atleti forward, then I think it puts all the pressure on Real Madrid. And I think we're really going to, that makes Atletico really comfortable to be in that spot.
Yeah, and to kind of circle around and maybe bring both the conversations we've had so far full circle, I think that an X factor in this game, who's not necessarily a player, is Atleti's attitude, because we talked about what's different from 2 years ago to today. And I think one of the things that's different, I don't know what the exact number is, but hasn't Real Madrid's only beaten Atleti once, I think, in their last 10 matchups across all competitions? And so Atletico Madrid, you know, like you said, Joe, a couple years ago it might have seemed like it was a little bit fluky they were in the final. This year, they're certainly acting like they're a big club that deserves to be there. I think a lot of people know that that was not a fluke a couple years ago. This is a very talented team that plays very well together, plays hard for each other. They do what they do, and they do it successfully. They have a great manager. All those things go into it. And so if they do kind of saunter into this game where they're clearly not going to be afraid of Real Madrid, and they play that way, that could dictate how the game goes either way. It could dictate, they play with that kind of confidence. Maybe, who knows? I know it's not really in their character, but maybe Atleti wins like 3-1 or something like that. Or maybe it's a mistake to do that and kind of open yourself up to Real Madrid. So I think that their attitude, as far as being, you know, knowing they belong, and also not having, you know, a couple years ago they won the league that year that they went to the Champions League final, and you got the sense that, you know, they certainly, you know, worked as hard as they could in the Champions League final, but they did kind of have that to fall back on this year. I mean, I know they took the league title push pretty late in the campaign. I think they lost to Levante a couple weekends ago, and that kind of took them out of it, and it meant that only Barca or Real Madrid could win the league title. This year, you know, they don't have that. This year, it kind of seems like they're a little more focused on the Champions League, and you don't blame them for having to knock out Barcelona and Bayern just to get to this point, to have this opportunity against Real Madrid. So I think that their attitude and the way they come out and the way that they feel about themselves, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, is going to be a big dictation on this game.
Let's talk matchups. When you guys sit down and watch this game on Saturday, which matchup are you going to be eyeing the most, focusing on the most?
I mean, there's, I think, good ones all over the pitch, but, you know, you've got sort of the BBC, one of the most celebrated attacking front lines in the game, going against probably the best back line. I mean, we were picking our best 11s earlier this week, and it was sort of difficult to not want to just pick all of Atletico's back line. On the other side, you've got two very good experienced strikers in Torres and Griezmann versus two center backs, Ramos and Pepe, who I think all these players know each other well from over the years. And then right in the middle of the park, you've got, Shahan was talking about him earlier, you've got Real Madrid's creator, Luka Modric, who's going to be going up against the likes of Gabi in the middle of the park. So I don't know. I think the matchups are all over this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think Atletico, you know, we talked about this going into the second leg against Bayern in the semifinals. They'll set up with a 4-4-2 no matter where they're playing. They know that they don't really contort their lineup nearly as much as people would think. And, you know, they were in a spot where they were ahead after the first leg. They're going away to Germany. Most people would be like, throw out a 4-5-1. Only one forward. You don't need two. Nope. They put out Torres and Griezmann because they know that they play how they play wherever they play. And I think there's a lot of comfort in that. So, I mean, for me, the biggest matchup is going to be on the sidelines between what Zidane does to counter what Simeone is going to do. And, you know, I would love if both those guys lost their heads, which Zidane has apparently never done. But I would love if they both lost their heads.
I can think of one moment.
Well, I can also think of one moment when Simeone lost his head. That's the last Champions League final.
I can't think of a moment when he had his head, to be
well,
honest.
Exactly. So I wish they would just have a camera on those two guys. And then just...
You just want an octagon.
You want
just
a cage fight?
Oh, are you kidding me? That would be the best UFC fight of all time right there. But, okay, but, I mean, on the pitch, I think that, you know, Pepe and Ramos in particular, if he can keep his composure against, you know, on those darting, because Atleti doesn't really attack you in the traditional sense where they have the slow build up. It's usually like, uh-oh, they're coming at us with pace. And Real Madrid, you know, Ramos and Pepe are both guys who will make the not advisable last tackle. So it could be a red card. It could be, you know, a penalty. It could be anything like that because, you know, Griezmann in particular is going to come at you with real pace. And when he's coming at you at real pace and you have no help and you're the back line for Real Madrid and he's, you know, done you up before because Atleti's been doing up Real Madrid for a little bit now, I think that's going to be real interesting to see how they counter that or if they can actually manage that because it's going to happen at some point where Atleti's going to get out in the break. It doesn't, like, no matter what's going on, it's going to happen. They are able to wiggle out of those tight spaces and launch those counterattacks. And I think, you know, those defenders, as experienced as they are and as good as they are, they do have the ability to kind of lose their heads. Sergio Ramos is, you know, Mr. Red Card. Whenever there's a derby against Barcelona or against, you know, against really any game that's a big game, you would put money on, like, if you had to put money on one guy getting a red card, it's probably Ramos.
So right.
Yeah, Pepe is kind of not very trustworthy in that regard either.
He'd be second place.
I want to go a little maybe unexpected here. I do think that the center backs are going to be very important for Real Madrid. Clearly, the matchup between the BBC and the Atleti backline and Oblak too is going to be important. But I think, you know, I look at what Atleti has done to get here and how opportunistic they are on the counter and attacking. And, you know, I think of the goals that they scored at Bayern Munich, at Barcelona, and I think of what happened on those goals. The Torres goal, even though he got red carded a few minutes later like an idiot, the Torres goal against Barcelona was, if I'm not mistaken, a nutmeg on Ter Stegen, which was an eminently savable shot, but he still scored and took advantage of it. And then the other game, Griezmann in Munich beat Manuel Neuer, I believe, near post. Like, he had a ton of space to shoot at the left side of the net, but he beat him near post on the right side with a very nice finish against arguably the best goalkeeper in the world. So in that regard, I think that Keylor Navas is going to have a chance to make some saves. He's going to have to make these saves and make sure that Atleti don't nick that goal and it stays scoreless, or at least it stays manageable for Real Madrid, because he's quietly becoming a really good goalkeeper. And part of the reason, I know there's a lot of David De Gea talk about him going to Real Madrid earlier this season before, you know, the fax machine or whatever imploded for Real Madrid and he stayed with United. But, you know, Keylor Navas's play, I'm not saying he's necessarily as good as De Gea, but he's kind of quieted down those rumors for needing a goalkeeper, and he could really, really have a kind of coming out party on this stage for Real Madrid, because there's going to be chances, I think we all agree, for Atletico Madrid to nick a goal on the counter, or maybe it's a nice piece of team play, whatever happens, where if he makes those saves, it could change the course of the match, because certainly we saw the course of those other matches I mentioned change because Atleti was able to convert those chances.
If this game goes into extra time, and it's definite possibility, who would you guys give the edge to? I mean, let's assess the options off the bench for both these teams.
I think Real Madrid's got more depth, definitely. And also, I think beyond that, just Atletico's style is so demanding that we saw that 2 years ago when it goes to extra time. Sometimes those guys are just gassed from putting out all that effort over 90 minutes. The longer a game goes on, the more the team with the superior quality, I think, is going to have the advantage.
I don't think it's necessarily cut and dry, because, you know, if Ronaldo does have a knock, or, you know, injuries kind of dictate that, because, you know, they lost Benzema in the semifinals as well. So if you have to make a substitution based on somebody gets, like, a minor knock, yes, you have some depth, but really is Jesse that much better than, you know, Carrasco coming in for Atleti? I don't know if there's really anything that, you know, that drastically different in terms of that depth. When you look at defensive depth, I would actually argue that, you know, with Varane, I believe, being out for this game, I would actually argue that Atleti's defensive depth is much, much more proven. I mean, Godin wasn't even available.
There's that much drop off.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Godin wasn't even available. You know, we're talking about Stefan Savic, who played really well. You know, Jimenez, I believe, came in. They've had guys that have been able to step into those spots. And then, you know, also I'm looking at who was on the bench last game, and Luciano Vieto has actually been pretty good this season. I think that you do have some guys that you can trust to come in and have an impact. And frankly, you know, Fernando Torres isn't going to last 90 minutes. They take him off anyway. So they're counting on making those substitutions anyway. I think Real Madrid, yeah, it depends on, you know, a guy like James Rodriguez is probably not starting. So yes, you have a guy that can come in like that, but is he the right guy, you know, when you look at in terms of his strength and everything, to come in and break down Atletico Madrid? I'm not sure he is the best fit to come in and have that real impact. And then, you know, yes, they have Kovacic, who they really haven't used this year that much. You look at Lucas Vazquez. Yes, Vazquez has come and played, and he's played big minutes. But again, you're not talking about the same quality as Bale, Ronaldo, and Benzema. So if they do have to go back to their bench, and you know, it kind of goes to the same thing. It's like, you know, Marcelo's a player that's going to have an impact because he gets forward a lot up that left side. But they don't really have anybody else who's going to come in and do that job for them. If they take off any of those guys and go to the bench, really, you know, the only guy that I think of that could potentially not start and come in and have a huge impact is Isco, because I think that he really is a quality player that doesn't necessarily get the start every single game. And if he doesn't get the start, I think that is a game-changing player that can come in and completely, like, play against any team on any field.
Let's take a short timeout. After the break, we'll give our predictions for this Champions League final. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast, direct from the FC Yahoo Soccer blog at yahoosports.com. And if you're looking for a sports radio morning show that is just a little bit more entertaining and has a little bit of fun, along with all your coverage of sports every morning, check out the Steve Zabin Show, direct from Yahoo Sports Radio.
I guess your friend Roseman here, Scott, your people, doesn't keep kosher, huh? Pepperoni and sausage.
I guess not.
Shonda.
My people. You're, a guy whose last name ends in a consonant.
You're allowed to say sausage, right? You just can't eat it. Or is it...
Just do what you want. But no, by the rules of kosher, yeah, you're not supposed to eat pork product.
Eat, but you can say the word.
Of course you can.
Oh, okay. Good. Just check. If you were to rank your pizza meats...
Here we go.
Go ahead and rank them.
Which
pepperoni?
Throw me some meats.
Pepperoni.
You've got
one.
The meats, right.
Canadian bacon.
That's not bad.
Two.
Yeah.
Sausage. Three.
Okay.
Hamburger meat. Four. No, wait a minute. Barbecue chicken is three. Sausage.
Ham?
Hamburger.
Pineapple and ham. Those are okay.
No.
Hawaiian?
Steve Zabin. Mornings, 6 a.m. until 10 a.m. Eastern on Yahoo Sports Radio. Listen live and check out the podcast of The Steve Zabin Show. YahooSportsRadio.com. It's time to get back to everything. Football and soccer from across the world. This is the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast. From Yahoo Sports Radio and Yahoo Sports. Once again, your host, Joe Lago.
Welcome back. I'm Joe Lago. I'm here with Shahan Ahmed, Alex Baker, and Joey Galina. We are talking Champions League final, which is this Saturday between Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. Guys, before we get to our predictions, I want you to fill in the blank for the following sentences. We'll start with Atletico Madrid. Atleti will win if... fill in the blank.
If they can get it done in regulation time, then they can keep their heads. Because as we've seen sometimes when they get up for these big games, sometimes they go a little over the top, like Torres getting the goal and then getting the red card against Barcelona. So it's going to be a question of getting these guys up for it, but keeping a lid on it. And that's going to be down to the manager.
I'll say if they can avoid a red card. So similar to what he's saying, but it's genuinely they need to stay 11 on 11. And yes, obviously the goal would be helpful because you need to score to win, but... just staying 11 on 11 because they do play a physical style, and depends on how Clattenburg decides to referee this match. If he starts pulling out yellow cards early, they could be in trouble.
Joey?
I think Atletico wins if they play assertively. If they do not hunker down and they trust their ability as playmakers, which they do for most of the time of the year. But again, we kind of just see them play this like bunker mentality game against the bigger clubs. This is not a two-legged affair. This is 90 minutes or maybe plus extra time. You know, it wears them down to play that way. I know they're good at it, but if they can trust themselves and their attacking creativity, again, trust their great defense in the back to limit BBC and Real Madrid's attackers, I think they can do things. This is going to be, you know, the worst back line they've faced in the Champions League since the round of 16, I would venture to say. So this, I think that if they play with confidence, that they can get it done.
All right. Let's flip that to Real Madrid. Real Madrid will win if, fill in the blank.
If Cristiano Ronaldo scores, because, I mean, Atletico Madrid are the clean sheet specialists. So if you can get a goal past them, I mean, you could really say if anybody in Real Madrid scores, but if Ronaldo scores, then I think it's kind of indicative of the way the game's going.
I think if Real Madrid scores first, then Atletico Madrid are going to have to go for it a little bit more than maybe they're comfortable with. They might play more the way Joey wants them to, but I think they could be in trouble then.
Joey?
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I think that if Real Madrid scores the first goal, it's going to spell a lot of trouble for Atletico Madrid because it's going to kind of make them have to chase the game a little bit. A couple years ago, they obviously scored first. Atletico did, and then they were able to kind of like bunker down a little bit. But I think if Real Madrid, who's been a little listless in some of their Champions League ties this season, if they come out and they score the first goal and they really, you know, show that they're here to play their game, then I think that's going to put Atletico Madrid in a considerable amount of trouble.
I'm going to change it. I'm going to say if Real Madrid wins, Cristiano Ronaldo will find a way to take off his shirt and celebrate.
All right, even if he does nothing at all.
All right, it's predictions time, guys. We're going to go around the table here. Shahan, you start. Who you got?
I'll take Atletico 1-0, and I think this time Real won't be able to put up that 1-5-4 formation to get Sergio Ramos's header.
We have a winner. Good, Alex.
I'm going to take Atletico 2. I'm going to say 2-1.
2-1 Atletico, Joey?
I'm going to take Atletico 3-1. I think that, again, a couple years ago, the result wasn't necessarily deserved. For Real Madrid, I don't think that Atletico is going to play a similar type of game if they don't have to. I think that they're the better team right now at this moment, and I think they get it done 3-1 fairly comfortably.
Oh, you guys are picking in normal time, right?
Yeah, I'm in regular time.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going with Shahan said. I think it's going to 1-0 Atletico, but I think it's going to be in extra time somehow. They can keep up that intense pace that they play defensively. And get a goal. I think Griezmann, most likely. I mean, I would rather have Fernando Torres because I do own a Fernando Torres shirt.
And Chelsea, Fernando Torres.
Chelsea, folks. Chelsea.
Not even Liverpool. Wait. Chelsea.
We don't want to mention that detail. All right. We got to go. Be sure to subscribe to our lovely podcast on iTunes and check out our blog, FC Yahoo, on Yahoo Sports. For Alex Baccarin, our producer, thank you again for a busy day here in the Playa Vista podcasting room. But for Shahan Ahmed, Alex Baker, Joey Galino, I'm Joe Lago. This has been the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast. Thank you for listening.